Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners, the road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster: wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Danny and Dusty.
My Uncle Gus is the uncle that likes to work the grill. As soon as he walk in the house, he's like, get away from that grill. You don't know how to start no fire.
With the latest on the Blazers, Ducks, Beavers, and the hottest topics in sports.
We're going to eat a hamburger, okay? Here we go. Chad, throw the match. Now that's a fire.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
I'm not cooking a brontosaurus burger.
The Fan.
All right, Team USA whittling the lead down against Serbia. It's the first minute of the second half is underway. 46-54. The deficit is now down to 8 for Team USA. Joel Embiid with the 3. We'll keep you
second
posted.
Of the game.
We'll keep you posted on the updates from Team USA and potential disaster. Remember, 40-minute game, so 10-minute quarters that they're playing. This ain't the NBA, folks. They need to get this thing down to 5 at least before they hit that fourth quarter.
Strangely enough, Team USA was actually favored coming out of the half on the betting markets.
Oh, +3?
+3.5.
All right. Thank you if you're listening on 1080 AM, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, or YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan, twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan. Thank you for partying with us. College football camps are well underway, and we're getting this steady stream of information that is coming out of each of the training camps around college football. And in Corvallis, the Beavs under Trent Bray they're an interesting case study in college football. A lot of guys left, obviously, when Jonathan Smith left. Mm-hmm. You're in this odd position of a no man's land in the Pac-12 with Washington State and yourselves playing this hybrid schedule. But I'll give Trent Bray and his staff a ton of credit when they went to the transfer portal and they started plucking guys away, whether it's, you know, local guys like Andy Alfieri, who came from Jesuit, goes down to Cal, now he's back up at Oregon State. Darius Clemens, another local product out of Westview, who was at Michigan, transfers in. Jam Griffin circling back around after leaving the Beavs for Ole Miss and then coming back. They also filled a lot of the spots that were gone in the transfer portal on the offensive line. And at the running back position as well, Anthony Hankerson comes in from Colorado, part of the Louis that Deion Sanders told us about. He was bringing in to Colorado. They also brought in a couple of offensive linemen as well. Tackled Jared Christian Lichtenhan. We know him as Tank, the 6'10". 330-pound tackle from Colorado that was widely criticized by his coach, and people around Colorado's football program at various times, including this quarterback Shedeur Sanders, and they brought in center Van Wells from Colorado as well.
Lichtenhahn is, I mean, as far as offensive lineman name goes, that's pretty strong.
Especially when you're 6'10".
Yeah.
Like, that's a strong man name.
I mean, they also probably called him Lickhands.
Ew. I mean, maybe.
Come on, that's, kids.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's a rough one. But then he's going to shove you in a locker, so. Mm-hmm.
He's probably got hands the size of dinner plates.
You should go. I was reading, the Oregonian had a little thing up about him today, and it was talking about he was 6 foot in sixth grade. He was,
oh God, he was 6 feet
tall. Yeah, he was 6 feet tall and then just kept on going right on up. He was a swimmer. You know that?
No.
Yeah, he was a swimmer. And
that's a big old dolphin.
Yeah, and played basketball for a year. He said he played basketball for a year. Wasn't physical enough for him.
I would imagine swimming isn't either.
Well, yeah, that's true. But when you're tall.
Yeah,
you want, you know, some of these swimmers, like
they're being tall is good.
They are monsters.
Yeah, like Phelps is like 6'4", 6'5". Yeah, like he's a big, long dude. Yeah.
But the article in the Oregonian, it triggered something for me in that you now have Kyle DeVan as the offensive line coach, mm-hmm. Under Trent Bray's tutelage at Oregon State. And Kyle DeVan, who worked at Colorado in 2022 with Lichtenhahn.
May or may not be familiar.
And with Van Wells. Mm. You got a guy who has NFL experience, is seen as a ridiculously bright offensive line coach, mm-hmm. in an offensive mind when it comes to line play. When he gets his hooks into those two Colorado offensive linemen, and success is going to be measured in a variety of ways, right? And for Oregon State, the talent isn't there to go head-to-head with the likes of Oregon.
No.
But the schedule sets up for them to have a successful season,
yes,
in Corvallis this
very
year.
Much so.
If you see an offensive line that was criticized by Deion publicly, by Shedeur Sanders, mm-hmm. publicly.
By Travis Hunter.
Travis Hunter.
Both those two guys are playing video games.
And then you see guys like Wells and Lichtenhahn. If they see success, Savion Washington, who got the boot, and now he's going to, by all accounts, be the starting tackle out at Syracuse this year in the ACC. Jack Bailey, who is going to play on the interior offensive line at Northwestern this year and very well could be a starting center for Northwestern this season, which I don't think people really understand unless you have been doing deep dives into the Big Ten. They were a disaster at the beginning of the year with the Pat Fitzgerald, yeah, getting ousted. They went to a bowl game, finished second in their division last year.
Northwestern is always sneaky okay.
If you have those four offensive linemen that were seen as a joke.
Yeah, this, basically, you should not be playing on this level. If they all go somewhere else and they're all productive, hell, three of them are productive, two of them are productive, you start sliding your eyes back to prime going, what kind of Louis you got over there? You get the fake stuff or you get the good stuff?
And I think that that is going to be something that we look at the portal and we look at how teams can aggregate talent from the portal and bring it into fill holes and patch holes. But what we don't talk about nearly enough is the guys who go into the portal and then they thrive elsewhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like Bo Nix is a great example of, yep, this, where he goes from Auburn, where he was run out of town, mm-hmm. after a great first year.
And then he's damn near a Heisman winner.
And yeah.
If he, I mean, to be fair, if he doesn't roll his ankle, it might have been him.
Well, if you look at last year's stats, mm-hmm. I mean, they were comparable to Caleb Williams' Heisman Trophy, yeah, winning season.
Well, I'm saying,
in yards, it was only like 100 yards away. In yards, in rushing yards, I think it was just like, I mean, we're looking at rushing yards for a quarterback. It was like 100 yards. He threw for more touchdowns, mm-hmm. had the highest completion percentage in, you know, college football, yeah, history. Like, you look at these, and we often enough, we don't often say, well, what went wrong somewhere? Something went right,
yeah,
when he got to Oregon. He was under Kenny Dillingham and then Will Stein. Back-to-back coordinator changes again for Bo Nix. But something obviously went right with the culture and the talent that was around him, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that Deion is going to be the guy that people start looking at because of how active he was in overhauling his roster year to year, in that if they don't have success when they come to you and then they go and they thrive at another place, what is, are we going to start pointing those fingers and drawing those lines of correlation? Because you can do that to a lot of programs that have that turnover in the portal.
There's so much of this is dependent, I think, of course, on where you go. But that's kind of the point here, in that if you have multiple guys that are all successful at multiple different places, then you definitely have to start looking at Prime and the other coaches that are there, the motivations, what they're trying to do, what they haven't been able to do, and where the blame ultimately falls, not just on Prime and Shador, but the program in general. And then also, the positive side of this, looking at a program like Oregon State that, even though they're in dire straits, still having the capacity to go, look, you come here, we can keep you going. We can make something with you. And that's kind of, I think, always been particularly Oregon State's mantra, is like, hey, look, man, you're the unfinished clay. If you want to come here, be a dude. I mean, the fact that they were able to retain Joshua Gray, that kind of makes me wonder, like, there must be something there still.
Well,
right?
Do have guys that they're loyal to the program that they committed to, no matter what the turnover is. I mean, you can look across those lines, and Oregon State fans thought that was Damian Martinez initially, right? But it turned out that was not the case at all. In all of the success is going to be measured completely differently, mm-hmm. right? Because of the machine that Deion created of hype around the program, the fact that they are playing in the Big 12 and not a hybrid schedule like Oregon State is playing, where you're dancing in between a Mountain West schedule and then you're playing the likes of Oregon and then your conference game against Washington State. Right. That success is going to be measured completely differently, and you won't look at it from a wins and loss standpoint. But if you look at the development and the viability of those guys, if they play at a high level at wherever they're at, I think that is a fair assessment of what's going on at Colorado and what's going on
elsewhere,
potentially at Oregon State or Northwestern in Jack Bailey's case, or at Syracuse in Savion Washington's case.
100%.
I mean, it's going to be something that I think, when it's all said and done, the transfer portal is guys are just going in, they're getting bought, and they're coming out, and they're going to other places. But you also will have the factor of, why are guys leaving programs, certain programs, in mass? And what does that mean if they go somewhere else and they do thrive elsewhere? Mm-hmm. And it's going to be a measuring stick that we start to see as we have more and more years.
Something stanky.
Yeah. Something just didn't right wherever they're at. And it's not just as easy as
wins or losses or NIL.
Or a coaching change, you know, forcing a guy into a portal. It is, your coach is still there, and these guys are finding ways to go to other places and be productive. You know, outside of the Alabamas of the world or Georgia, where it's just like, I'm sitting in line against behind a first round pick who's right in front of me.
Yeah.
You know, sure. Yeah. Go get your shot. Go play and go thrive somewhere else. And
on the note,
it's not always as simple as that.
Did you see the video of Cam Newton talking to the high school players? Maybe I'll get up and we talk about it a little bit later. But he highlighted the whole idea of the changing landscape and how Auburn doesn't need you. Alabama doesn't need you. North Carolina doesn't need you. You need to go where they need you.
Yep.
If you're a guy who you want to be seen, and like, he's like, it's not a negative thing to go to a lesser, quote unquote, lesser school. If you're great, they will find you.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I like, Cam says a lot of crazy ass.
They will.
But with that, I think he's right, because particularly if you're talking about going to the NFL, there may be the question, well, he played at smaller level, you know, smaller school competition, but if the numbers are there, or the tape is there, they'll come draft you.
Yeah.
Every single time.
No doubt about it. I mean, look, Tyreek Hill played at West Alabama.
How many small school guys are there in the NFL?
Cooper Kupp at Eastern Washington.
The list is long.
It is a very long list of guys that you sit there and you go, yep, It does. And as P1 Cole points out on the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326, environment really matters.
Yes.
And you hear that time and time again.
Go shine.
And environment of where you go and finding your place and having that feeling of, all right, this is a place where I can thrive. Like, that was one of the things we talked about this in spring ball with Evan Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
He goes from Texas A&M to Oregon, and he was asked about, you know, the biggest difference, and he was like, the environment. Like, it matters. There's structure. There's organization. And it goes beyond that of the development. And I don't know, have you watched that team out west?
No, not yet. I'm actually going to pop that in tonight.
I mean, it is a... It's, I mean, obviously, University of Oregon is making it.
Yeah, but
and it is very slanted. But
their video department, and they might be the best in college sports right now.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it
genuinely, they are very good at it.
And there is a lot of, and you're looking at, all right, what was the mold of the first episode of that? It was the culture that Dan Lanning is obsessed with building at Oregon. And you're seeing it because you get these little snippets in the consistency of messaging is to his coaches, his players, the support staff, and in cultivating that environment.
Culture is the thing that doesn't waver. If, you know, that'd be macabre, but if a death hits the team, if you have a rough season because your quarterback's knee gets shredded or, you know, something that pops up, some sort of, I don't know, scandal that isn't necessarily related to the coaching staff or the players, or some player gets arrested. You know what I mean? Like, all of the worst negative things that you could possibly throw at a team, and that most teams deal with in some form or fashion every year.
Absolutely.
It has to be able to withstand, not only withstand that, be strong enough to push back against it. And I think that's the thing that, I mean, at Colorado right now, it's paper thin. I mean, there's a reason why all these leaks are coming out about guns in the locker room and gambling debts and fights. It's like, same thing in Philadelphia in the NFL. There's the same reason why there's like 8 different anonymous sources that are players on the team.
Yeah.
Where normally everybody in the team is coming together and you're walling off media. You're not leaking that stuff out. You might get one guy who's unhappy because on a 52-man,
you get a Stephon Diggs.
You get a guy who you're like, oh, God, this guy. But otherwise, they all come together, even if they hate each other, because it's about the collective. And I think that's the big thing that when Lanning talks about connectivity and culture, it's the collective. And I'm not talking about the NIL. It's the collective being that it is, because that has to be able to withstand everything else.
Pull the rope in the same direction.
But also, on that same note, as it pertains to Cam Newton and what he was saying to these kids, the collective doesn't care about the singular you.
Nope.
And that's why you have some of those conflicting emotions when you make those decisions.
Yeah, and it shouldn't care about you.
No.
No. Hey, let's go Fun with Audio. Fun with Audio Football Edition next. We got 3 doozies for you. Danny Dusty on the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste, because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
All right, let's have some fun with audio. Football edition. We've got a motivational speech, the likes of which you've never heard before. You have a former starter in the NFL rapping unintentionally. And then a legendary football coach in a fun with audio blast from the past. Which would you like to go with first?
Surprise me.
Okay. I feel like the order that we will have here, this is very fitting. You know the rapper Kodak Black?
Yes.
Infamous for his arrests, his weird, very weird appearances on hip-hop radio stations. And then also, wasn't he Florida Panthers, twerking in the Florida Panthers when that Kodak Black?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wherever. Yeah, wow. That's a deep cut.
We got a lot going on with Kodak Black. Now we can add to it Kodak Black, motivational speaker to a youth football program. He decided he was going to drop in on a youth football practice in the Miami area and impart some wisdom on the youngsters there getting ready to play football. Let's take a listen.
Say no to drugs. They too good. Y'all don't like it. You go crazy.
Oh. He went full Lawrence Taylor.
Say no to drugs.
He said, say no to drugs. They're too good. They'll make you go crazy. I don't think that's the messaging that the parents and the coaches were looking for, Kodak.
Yeah, I remember in high school.
Say no to drugs. They're too good.
The dare messaging. I remember being younger and like, don't do drugs. You won't like them. They're not any fun. I remember being in high school and then talking to R.I.P., Dan Bartolin, the DARE officer for Beaverton for so long, and him being much more honest with, yeah, the DARE campaign probably should have been something along the lines of, not that you won't like them, you'll like them too much.
So maybe, maybe Kodak Black was just taking that and just being like, I'm going to be honest with these kids. Yeah. You're really going to like these.
Cocaine, terrible time.
They're going to make you crazy, though. And I think he's just like, look at me. Look at me. Right now, don't do drugs. They're
make terrible
good.
Life choices and a lot of face tattoos.
They're going to make you go crazy. All right. Well, I think the easy transition from there is to Jameis Winston, also from Florida State University.
Fantastic.
Go from the Florida State legend up to Cleveland now. Was asked about Deshaun Watson and unintentionally gave us the most Jameis Winston response possible.
I think that's one of the things that a lot of people forget. When you can go out, you can see practice, you can knick-knack this, that, paddywhack, give a dog a bone. Deshaun Watson is going to turn it on. He always going to find a way to shine when the lights come on. Man, I just rhymed. Can I leave off that one? I know that one's going to hit.
We need knick-knack, paddywhack, give a dog a bone from Jameis's drop.
Do you remember Don't Be a Menace to South Central?
While drinking juice in the hood, yep.
The cellmate, wasn't the Brothers of Islam, but it was being a mock of that. Well, the line was one fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish, knick-knack, paddywhack, give a dog a bone. That's the first thing. Because he went full Louis Farrakhan. One fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish, knick-knack, paddywhack, give a dog a bone.
Jameis Winston unintentionally might be the funniest man on planet Earth.
No, it's fantastic. The first time I heard this, I immediately thought, like, if he allows himself post-career to go do, like, start up a podcast and is self-deprecating, like Jeff Teague, it'll go multi-platinum.
I think you are right there. But I don't think that he even needs to allow himself to be self-deprecating. He will just... He seems to me like the kid that could just never control himself in class and would just blurt things out. Jameis is going to do that. The worst thing... Where Jameis will run into problems when in his post-career podcasting is that he is going to tell stories that should never be told because he just doesn't know that he shouldn't be talking about that. I think that where it will be where it's at. I mean, look no further than Jameis and when he got how he got in trouble at Florida State. Remember, the first Jameis issue was the grabbing by the that he stood up in the student union on a chair and yelled it in the middle of the student union. That was the first time I was like, this Jameis guy may be a loose cannon here.
Yeah, ever so slightly. I mean, the crab legs probably was your first indication.
No, that was after the grabbing by the pee.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, Jameis is...
Of all the things to steal, man.
I still believe that the reason why that happened is because Jameis Winston was given the green light by an employee to, yeah, man.
Go ahead, grab those.
Whatever you need. Just come in, grab it. And then somebody didn't know
the memo.
And Jameis went in to do that, and
because otherwise it's the most unhinged thing ever.
Because at that time they couldn't say like, oh, we have an agreement with him, we have like an NIL agreement with him. It was that was impermissible benefits, so everybody had to just shut up, and Jameis had to
take
his medicine for that one,
get a misdemeanor for stealing crab legs.
For a little shoplifting there. I believe it was the guy behind the counter. That's where this was, the guy behind the counter. He had a handshake agreement, and somebody missed that memo.
Knick-knack, paddywhack, give a dog a bone.
All right, our third piece of fun with audio today is a blast from the past. Marv Levy, remember Marv Levy?
Mm.
Marv Levy, former head coach of the Buffalo Bills, and this will blow your mind, because how old do you think Marv Levy was when he was coaching the Bills?
He looked 70.
Yeah, he was the head coach of the Bills from 1986 to 1997.
Yeah, he looked 70 then, but I bet you he was probably like 40.
We go back like 25 years ago, he was still coaching for it was like the final year of the Buffalo Bills.
I believe the sound is from 1994, so we're at a square 30 years.
We're at 30 years ago?
Yes.
Okay. 30 years ago... Marv Levy was 69 years old. He's alive and kicking, by the way.
Good God. So he was older than dirt then.
He's 99 years
old.
Good
for him.
As of August 3rd, 99.
Yeah. But I will tell you, watching the Super Bowls in like 91, 92, 93, I thought he was the oldest man on earth. Well, I really did.
Well, it's because of the silver hair.
Yeah.
I mean, it was not even silver. It was white. It was void of color.
I thought he was at least 80 back then.
It looked like Southern Oregon.
Yeah, it was. What?
Very white.
Oh. Okay. Okay. Well,
Mark, go.
30 years ago, he fired Chuck Dickerson. And boy, did he not hold back on his thoughts on old Chucky.
Sometimes if you don't punch back, you're going to get punched out. So, since this is my coach's show, I'm going to do something. All the coaches I've ever worked with, I've had great regard for, and have never had reason or the desire to say anything derogatory about. But I think the fans in Buffalo, the Buffalo Bills fans, deserve to know why I fired Chuck Dickerson. I think they deserve to know why I fired him. What he's doing now is destructive to the Buffalo Bills, and that certainly is prerogative. But what he did as a member of our coaching staff was destructive to the Buffalo Bills. Just as what he did as a member of every coaching staff he's ever served on, and I've talked to many of those coaches, was destructive. That's why he's been fired more times than a Civil War cannon, to tell you the truth.
He was
lying. Treatment of the players was degrading. His idea of motivation was to say, hey, boy, get your bleeping fat bleep over here. That was his idea of motivation. He was regarded as a buffoon by our players.
Wow. He didn't hold back. Was Chuck Dickerson the kicking coach? Was he Steve Norwood's coach?
Oof. Ouch. That's tough. Oh, not wide left.
All right, fine. Wide right then. Mm. Wow.
The fact that Marv Levy wrote down Because you know he did.
Yeah.
He wrote down and fired more times than a Civil War cannon. Because even he chuckled at his own line. It's like, that's pretty good, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Oh, just wait till we get to the second piece of sound from this.
Yeah.
You thought he didn't hold back in that first one.
He went all in. He went all in. And by the way, there were several quotes from Chuck Dickerson where, my good golly, Miss Molly, he was a defensive line coach, by the way. He would mock other teams' offensive linemen, right? He called the Redskins' offensive line, their tackle, Joe Jacoby, a Neanderthal. He slobbers a lot. He probably kicks dogs in his neighborhood. So he was a quote machine in his own right.
Good Lord.
He said Jim Lachey has bad breath. Players will fall down without even touching him. Okay? Chuck Dickerson was a quote machine in his own right, and Marv Levy stepped up to the task.
He was a defensive coordinator for 1 year at the University of Minnesota. Self-proclaimed defensive genius. The Gophers went 1-10. Here are some of the scores. Illinois 50-23. Wisconsin 56-17. Michigan 58-10 over Minnesota. Iowa 61-10 over Minnesota. Ohio State 69-18 over Minnesota. Nebraska 84-13 over Minnesota.
Tom Osborne said it. Watch
this. During the course of the year, they scored 518 points. That's an average of 47 points a game. Think how many they would have scored if he wasn't a defensive genius.
Good God.
And but mind you,
was Kirk Ferentz the coach then?
Mind you, this is 1994, where Marv Levy actually had to turn some pages of some books here. He wasn't just hitting...
No internet.
He wasn't firing up Google.
He went and searched game results and did the scroll at the library to see the...
Microfilm. He went on the microfilm, and he was turning right there.
That's a level of hatred that I aspire to. That's my kind of petty. Doing work for your petty.
God bless you, Marv Levy.
God, I
love
that.
That's a gold medalist at the Petty Olympics. Right,
yeah, damn right it is.
Now he's 99 years old and he's still kicking.
And he's probably still talking S about Chuck Dickerson.
I bet you Chuck Dickerson's probably not around.
Chuck Dickerson died in February.
See?
February 6th.
That was Marv's final line.
Yeah.
I lived longer than you too, sucker.
Hot damn. Look at that. So bad blood, it runs hot with Marv Levy. Don't get on Marv Levy's bad side. Don't get on his bad side one bit.
I like it. You know what else is bad side you don't want to get on?
Ooh.
Police who impound your stolen car. Yeah, makes sense of that. But first, here's the big kahuna with the Sports Center update.
Hamburgers, the cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
It's time for today's worst day on the web. With Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Oh, really? That sucks.
When your really bad day turns into a really bad month.
This story is bananas to me. And I want to know how common it is.
I mean, let's just imagine you're a local Joe working at your gas station late at night, working the swing shift. You go outside to have a little heater.
Yep.
All right. Two dudes rush up on you, and one of them pulls a gun. Says, give me your car keys. Somebody jacks your car and your wallet and your cell phone. And you're sitting there going, well, crap, this is a really bad day. Car's later found. Criminals arrested. You have to go pay not only the impound fee for the tow fee, but also the impound fee for storage.
Because you got robbed. Because
you got carjacked.
This is crazy. Okay, so that is the exact situation that happened in Jackson, Mississippi. This dude
unbelievable.
Was working the overnight shift at a convenience store, goes out for his smoke break. Two dudes run up on him. They have a gun. It's caught on video. He gives his stuff up and says, yeah, it's not worth me getting shot. Take my stuff. They find the car, and he has to pay. He already got all of his stuff stolen.
Yeah.
And I'm here to tell you, dude's working the overnight shift at a convenience store. He's not rolling in cash and disposable income to get his car out of the impound lot. That is, in the Jackson, Mississippi Police Department, they're standing by this, saying that
standard operating procedure that if any vehicle is stowed in the impound lot, must be paid for.
Is this, now, I just don't know, maybe I'm crazy, but is this commonplace if your car gets stolen? I've never had my car get stolen, knock on wood. I've had some cars where I have intentionally left the keys in the ignition because of the fact that if they steal this car, they need it more than I do.
And it's better off for you.
Like, I mean, it's like, if you're going to steal this car, you're really down on your luck, and I got some insurance going on here. Like, it's probably for the best. Like, you really needed this car if you're going to steal it. But I still never had my car stolen before.
No.
I don't know if
this... I've had my car impounded before.
That's one of the least surprising things I've heard today. And I've heard a lot of surprising things out of you today.
I've had my car impounded twice.
But is this normal that you have to pay to get your car out? Because I feel like
if
that's you were freebie.
If a victim of a crime, you should be square.
Yeah.
The whole idea of like this is the government nastiness. We're gonna ding you however we're gonna ding you, like, well, it's storage space, so we have to charge, you know. It's like, no, you don't. Give the guy a stolen car back.
If it's an election year and I'm running for like a district in Jackson, Mississippi, I'm running on this platform, I'm bringing this dude out, even though like this usually ends horribly where the dude's got a ton of skeletons.
Oh,
in his
closet. Milkshake duck.
He was
every single time.
He was probably one of the guys that was in on it or whatever, you know. But I would bring this guy and be like, look, we've got constituents out here that are just trying to work. They're getting mugged and robbed. We need to clean up our streets. We need to make our town safe. And we need to get rid of these ridiculous laws where our hardworking citizens get robbed and then have to pay a fee to get your car out. Like, if you want to talk about a worse day, the only thing making this thing worse is the dude, if he gets shot by the guy with the gun, right?
Yeah. Well, the other thing that we haven't mentioned here is this guy still hasn't gotten his wallet or cell phone back because they're in the evidence locker at the police station. He pinged his cell phone, and the last ping it had before it went dead was in the evidence building.
What are we doing?
So the guy that probably doesn't have much disposable income, doesn't have his license, doesn't have his credit card, his bank card, his social security card, nothing, because it's all in his wallet.
If it tells you anything about this guy, in the quote, he's like, I need to get a social security card. I don't even know. He said, I don't know none of that. Like, he doesn't even know how to get any of his stuff back.
Also, don't carry your social security card with you.
No, don't do
that's
that.
That's a bad idea.
That's a bad idea. That's a, your identity you, is
you,
gone.
You put that one in the file and you put it in the cabinet.
That's right.
Or if you're not a cabinet guy, in the drawer that has all the other crap. Just make sure it's in a file.
That's bad life advice.
Look, I'm just saying, not all of us are organized.
Yeah, sure. Makes it really hard to find those things later.
But you put them all in the file.
Yeah, in the file.
In the file.
Yep. In the
file. That way it separates from the rest of the junk.
That's right. This poor dude, I mean, I feel...
This is a no good, really bad day.
Yeah, $150 just to get his car out and still has no wallet, no ID, no phone. That's tough living right there. Michael, and his last name is Ransom. And it feels like he's being held.
Yeah, his car is being held ransom.
Ransom right now. So is his wallet.
$150 for just the tow fee.
Now, this is going to get me off on a whole other thing. With what tow truck companies charge you is absolutely asinine.
It is obscene. Yeah. It is. I think the minimum pickup now, I think it is $150 here. I think it is.
That's wild.
Now, I'm not advocating or advertising for them. AAA, worth it.
Yeah, AAA is good.
It's worth it.
AAA is good.
Because if you do
save your butt,
if you use it more than once in a given year, which I think most people will use it once a year.
Yeah, I think that's a safe assumption there, right?
But if you do, it already pays for itself by like miles.
Yeah. I mean, you can use it even just like...
Let's get your discounts.
Hotel discounts. Like, that's something that I am so awful at, but I really need to be better at mm-hmm. because my wife is a teacher. Like, you probably do this. You get a military discount. Yeah. Your wife is state employee, so mm-hmm. you get discounts there, too. Like, that...
I'm habitually cheap, so yeah.
No, yeah.
Like, kidding me?
I am never good at just, like, looking up where the discounts are unless you're, like, booking a hotel and you're like, boom, AAA, bam. That's kind of everywhere. That's, like, the go-to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So...
what is the best job for the discounts? I think it is military.
It's military.
It is. I mean, military
discounts. I get front row parking spots at Home Depot.
See, that's awesome.
It's so clutch.
Yeah, that's great.
No matter what time of day it is, there's the, like, I think there's the one in Sherwood has like eight.
Yeah, dude, they have an abundance.
Yeah, there's always a veteran parking spot. And my wife's like.
And that's good. We should have more of that.
This is a really good benefit. I was like, yeah, it rules.
It's great, Benny. I mean, good parking's the least we can do.
It's not bad.
You know?
It's not bad.
It is the least we can do.
So.
That and pregnant moms get, like... Pregnant moms get in the good parking places. Yeah. That's a good one, too.
Yeah, what? No. You just...
You ever just watch that pregnant waddle and you're like...
That waddle, something else.
You're growing a human inside of you.
How do they weeble and wobble and not fall down?
I'll tell you what.
The math isn't mathing.
It is... unbelievable.
No,
that humans can do that.
Speaking of the math, not mathing. It's the final seconds of Team USA taking on Serbia. When we come back, we will have the conclusion of the semifinal game between USA and That's Serbia. Cute.
This final 8 seconds is going to be like 20 minutes.
Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
USA! 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 USA!
Team USA makes the comeback. They make it official. 95-91. They claw all the way back on the back of Joel Embiid and Steph Curry in the second half, going absolutely bonkers. Kevin Durant finding his jumper and LeBron James having another Olympic triple-double.
Yeah, LeBron goes 16, 12, and 10. But I think the most surprising development in this was the carrying of Team USA by Joel Embiid and Steph Curry. In the second half, Embiid went perfect 5-for-5 from the field, including 1-for-1 from beyond the arc. He had 19 points in the game, and Steph Curry had
36.
16 of his 36 points in the second half.
36 and points in 36 minutes, or 33 minutes.
He was in fuego and kept them really alive, and they were down by 11 at the break.
Yeah, there was a 6-point possession that they ended up getting. Oof. That was really the point of the comeback late in the third quarter going into the fourth. And Serbia, they clawed. Jokic finished with 17 points, 11 assists, 5 rebounds. Bogdanović, 20 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. Avramović, 15, 4, and 3. The shooting for Serbia cooled down just enough.
Well, a lot from beyond the arc. They were shooting 52% at the break. They ended up on the game 15 of 39.
39%, which is still on 15 makes.
Yeah, on 15 makes, but it was night and day from the first half to the second half. And Nikola Jokic, 0 for 6 from beyond the arc.
Yeah, Jokic, 0 for 6 from beyond the arc.
One of them was at a shot clock.
Yeah, they kind of, he had another one in the fourth quarter that ended up being a heave, too. So really two of them. Hell of a game from Serbia. It was nice to see Steve Kerr eject Derek White into the sun. Derek White and Edwards, Bam Adebayo, were train wrecks in this game. They were all minus 14, minus 15, minus 13.
Jason Tatum play? I don't remember
seeing him. Tatum, I do not believe, touched the floor. When I looked up, I did not see him at any point in time. Tatum, Halliburton, both DMPs.
Yeah. All right. Well, Team USA survives, and it should be noted, they covered in the second half. They were 3.5-point favorites.
Even down 11 at the half.
Yeah, to win, and they won by 4. 95-91, they'll go on to play France in the gold medal game. They always know. How do they do that? Like, did they know that Embiid was not going to miss in the second half and Curry was just going to continue to cook?
I mean, yes.
Well, I'll be damned. Somebody
in Vegas has, like, the Biff Tannen sports book.
They even knew that Steph Curry was going to, like, rattle in a free throw at the end to seal it.
Good Lord.
Hit the iron three times.
The pucker factor on that. One of the best free throw shooters in the history of the NBA stepping up the line, like, with a 2-point game. You're thinking, oh, he'll hit both these.
Game.
The first one, ding, 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 like a Plinko ball before it finally goes in.
All right. Well, now they play the French.
Team USA will take on France.
Yeah, we got France, Wemby. Wemby and the Frenchies.
And we get France on their home court. It's going to give them a bump. It's going to be juiced. And you're going to see, again, I think the transition of LeBron James, who at 39 years old just had a triple-double in the Olympics and was the guy that Team USA relied on outside of Steph. He was the table setter. He was the guy who put his head. Look, at 39 years old, he was guarding Jokic in the post.
And Jokic couldn't move. Could not get position on
him. It was incredible. And, you know, what Braun is still capable of doing is just...
Wait. Have you thought about this? Like, everybody that has the LeBron HGH stuff, he got past the drug test. He's in the Olympics.
Well, yeah, I mean...
Are we going to cool that down? We're going to cool that down now? LeBron is grown man in this thing.
You think he's taken off the shelf?
I'm just saying. That would be quite the tainted medal.
Look, man... I'm just going to say, look at the bodies of Team USA and then look at the bodies of Serbia.
Yeah. It's called strength training, okay?
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right? We're not tending to our racehorses in the offseason. Mm. We're getting in the gym, bro.
Oh, no. They're tending to the racehorses, but they're just pulling their blood.
Stop.
That's the difference.
Stop. This is a great win. Don't sully the great win.
I'm not sullying it. I'm just saying, you know?
Yeah, Joel, I think maybe we could take it easy on LeBron. He has to pass a drug test for Team USA.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's just the story, and I'm sticking to it.
Just don't buy your steroids off the shelf, kids. Get them directly from your doctor.
Not testing positive for beaver tranquilizers?
Yeah, low-grade beaver tranquilizers, or high-grade.
Damn it, Bernice!
It's still... every time this comes up, I'm going to say it. Let him do it.
No.
Let him do it.
You think LeBron's going to go and play in the Royal Olympics after this?
That would be hilarious.
No.
Oh, you guys didn't know?
No.
He goes down to the Royal Olympics. Stop. And looks exactly the same.
Stop. He'll look way more jacked. I do like gray beard LeBron, though.
He's let it go because there's an ad that runs every commercial break for Nike. Mm. It's what winning isn't for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And his beard is black as a black hole.
Yeah.
And it's like the dye job is so over the top.
He's come home.
Meanwhile, while you watch him on the floor, his beard looks like my hair.
Yeah, it's very gray.
On the sides. Let it go, dude.
I think it's even more... like off-putting for other athletes, though, when LeBron is sitting there just cooking you.
Gray beard cooking
you. You are in your prime, and this dude has got gray facial hair, and he's just absolutely dominating.
He needs to let the hair go, though. Like, I'm looking at him right now in an interview.
Well, we all know that that's not real, because yeah. I believe his hair is probably gray, too.
I mean, because you can see, like, the front, there's, like, a front triangle that is clearly not his.
I'm not going to judge him.
I am.
I'm not going to do that.
Let it go.
You be you. If you want hair, you go ahead. You get them plus.
His forehead is a six head. It's not even a five. It's a six.
Peyton Manning's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. He had one of them.
Yeah, and guess what he did? He cut it. He took it all the way back.
He doesn't have a shaved head. Peyton has.
No, but I mean, he was never fake.
Yeah.
But he trimmed it. Remember Peyton had the little brush forward?
A little big forehead.
He had the brush forward in the early days, and then it became very clear
he has a big basketball brain shove in that
he
head.
He just needed to let it go.
Yeah. All right, LeBron. Triple-double, man.
Hell of a game, and we'll see Team USA take on France in the Olympic gold medal game. Serbia will play Germany for the bronze medal match.
That will be a road environment Team USA is playing.
Oh, God, that's going to be nuts.
They always have a lot of fans in their games. This will be a hostile environment that they're playing.
So many baguettes.
Yes, all of the baguettes. Mm. Yep. Go Team USA. Way to go. You know what? People are going to knock this performance. I don't care.
Joel Embiid, American hero.
American hero, Joel Embiid. That's right.
Crazy. All right, come in next.
I'm not apologizing.
No. In hour number three, a couple teams in college football that could stake their claim and plant their flag in the early season or get it planted somewhere else for them. Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.